Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Deham Navarurutseham. Dukkha Shoka Bhayavaham. Sarvatrasya Yato Mrityur. Matsyanam Udake Yata. Deham Navarurutseham. Dukkha Shoka Bhayavaham. Sarvatrasya Yato Mrityur. Matsyanam Udake Yata. Deham Navarurutseham. Dukkha Shoka Bhayavaham. Sarvatrasya Yato Mrityur. Matsyanam Udake Yata. Vaishnavis. Deham. A material body, not avarurutse, desire to accept, aham, I, dukkha shoka bhaya avaham, which is the cause of all kinds of distress, lamentation and fear. Sarvatra, always and everywhere within this universe. Asya, of the living entities who have accepted material bodies. Yataha, because. Mrityu, death. Matsyanam, of the fish. Udake, living within the water. Yata, like. Translation. I do not wish to accept a material body, for such a body is the source of all distress, lamentation, and fear everywhere in the universe, just as it is for a fish in the water, which lives always in anxiety because of fear of death. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The material body, whether in the higher or lower planetary system, is destined to die. In the lower planetary system, or lower species of life, one may die soon. And in the higher planets or higher species, one may live for a long, long time. But death is inevitable. This fact should be understood. In the human form of life, one should take the opportunity to put an end to birth, death, old age, and disease by performing tapasya. This is the aim of human civilization, to stop the repetition of birth and death, which is called mrityu saṃsāra vartmani. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious or has achieved the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Otherwise, one must rot in this material world and accept a material body subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. The example given here is that water is a very nice place for a fish, but the fish is never free from anxiety about death, since big fish are always eager to eat the small fish. Palguni tatra mahatam. All living entities are eaten by bigger living entities. This is the way of material nature. Ahastani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam palguni tatra mahatam jiva jivasya jivanam. Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the subsistence of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:13:47. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created the material world in such a way that one living entity is food for another. Thus, there is a struggle for existence. But although we speak of survival of the fittest, no one can escape death without becoming a devotee of the Lord. Harim vina naiva sritam taranti. One cannot escape the cycle of birth and death without becoming a devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:3, aprapya mam nivartante mrityu saṃsāra vartmani. One who does not attain shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna must certainly wander up and down within the cycle of birth and death. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First ask for the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas that I may speak appropriately and Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is given to us by our Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada in his purport, in the very first sentence, gives us a very heavy blow, that the material body, whether in the higher or lower planetary system, is destined to die. So Maharaj Nimi, in this pastime, was killed, or cursed to die, and they wanted to give him another body. Of which he said that, I do not wish to accept a material body, for such a body is the source of all distress, lamentation, and fear. So Maharaj Nimi had some tattva gyan. He had some knowledge that he didn't want to take birth again in a material body. And we'll see that he actually gets a spiritual body. He actually achieves perfection. So, but Srila Prabhupada makes it a point that this fact should be understood, that death is inevitable. Now, as devotees, we understand the philosophy. You know, at first, we come to the temple, we start reading, we start associating with devotees, and we know it theoretically. But to know it very in a realized state is very highly elevated. Because all around the world, nobody really believes that they're going to die. We see in this, especially in United States of America, Cornel West calls it a Disneyland society. From the moment we're born, we're fed fairy tales about a prince and a princess. They get together after some struggles and they live happily ever after. What happens after that? Nothing. They just live happily ever after, eternally. They're happy. So we actually hide old age, we hide disease, we hide death in this country. We go to the mall, turn on the TV. There's so many products, there's so many billboards that are designed to keep us young, keep us feeling young. Wear the new clothes at Forever 21, where you can feel Forever 21. But Srila Prabhupada says this fact should be understood. That death is inevitable. And it's hard, even for devotees, to really understand that this body, who I am, false ego that I've created this whole life, is not going to be here. We're going to change. And I don't know about any of you, but I don't know where I'm going to end up. Change my consciousness, change my body. When I was younger and studying yoga and so many things before Krishna consciousness, I really thought, oh yeah, death, you know, it'll come, it'll be a change, no problem. But then come to the temple, you really start purifying your heart. You really understand what's involved here. That the aim of this human civilization is to stop the repetition of birth and death in a very real way, in a very practical way. And so Maharaj Nimi points out that Matsyanam Urukeyata, that the fish is in the water. The fish is in its natural habitat. It's very comfortable swimming along. Just like we are, we're, you know, in this world we can live so-called very comfortably for a short time. But as he points out, Srila Prabhupada said, the water is a very nice place for a fish. But the fish lives in constant anxiety because of fear of death. And Prabhupada points out that the nature of this material world is that all living entities are eaten by bigger living entities. This is the struggle for material existence. One living entity is food for another living entity. But human beings are at the top of the food chain. Can you imagine that you get ready to go to the temple, you have your tilak on nicely, and you go to the door, and before you get to the door, you open it very, very slowly. Because you're afraid, I'm going to be eaten. I gotta make sure there's no predator out there. Look around. Then run as fast as you can to the temple. Because you're afraid you're going to be eaten. People catching a bus in fear of this living entity coming out and eating them. Human beings in the 21st century, we don't have to worry about being food for another living entity, isn't it? And unless you're flown to a tropical forest or you go to the Amazon or you go to Africa and the jungles there, then you're going to be food for another living entity. But in the city, We don't have to worry about another living entity eating us, running us, you know, running us down and chasing us. But we see in every National Geographic documentary that's ever been shown that animals are really struggling. They have to really struggle for food, for shelter, and all of them are eaten. You know, and human beings are the top predator, killing so many fish, killing so many animals in the world, millions and millions of animals, if not billions, yearly, just to satisfy the tongue. So the human doesn't have to worry about being food for another living entity in the 21st century. So what's the aim of human civilization? What's the civilization that we're supposed to be living in? Is that we're supposed to put a stop to the repetition of birth and death, which is called Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani. And how is this done? By performing tapasya. By engaging in Krishna consciousness or achieving the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. So tapasya, to perform penances and austerities. There's a very nice verse that Srila Prabhupada would quote in Narada Pancharatra, where it states that for those who are performing tapasya, if the aim isn't Krishna consciousness, what's the point? But then if one is Krishna conscious, what's the point of performing severe austerities and penances? And Srimad Bhagavatam has revealed to us the story of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was born in, you know, from a Brahmin family, but he rose up to become a demon. Lord Vishnu killed his brother Hiranyaksha, and he vowed to kill Vishnu. He became such an atheistic personality. He such a demon. Even though he was such a demon, he knew the Vedic philosophy. When his brother died, he preached to his nephews, he preached to the his sister-in-law and his mother, Diti, that he told the story of Suyagya, a king who had fallen in battle. And through that story, through that pastime of Suyagya meeting Yamaraj, he told how the body is temporary, the soul is eternal. And one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is going on by the Supreme Personality of Godhead's will. So he could speak such high philosophy, Vedic philosophy, that a devotee could speak. And then we see that he performed severe tapasya, performed severe austerities. He was standing on his tippy toes with his arms raised in the air for so long that an anthill was formed around his body. The ants ate all of his skin, his muscles, his organs. They ate everything. Only his skeleton was remaining there, and that skeleton was being held together by his prana, by his life airs. So he engaged in such austerity, but what was the purpose? It was to get abilities to try and kill Vishnu. Lord Brahma came down, dropped some water from his kamandalu, and Hiranyakashipu wanted benedictions that he thought could make him immortal, could make him eternal in this body, so that he could kill his enemy, Vishnu. But we see that he couldn't even disturb his youngest son, Prahlad, who was 5 years old. He couldn't disturb even Prahlad. Prahlad was so fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord, that nothing could disturb him. His father, who had performed such austerities, couldn't disturb his five-year-old boy. And then Lord Nisringadev came and liberated Hiranyakashipu. And even in more recent times, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at nighttime, in the house of Srivas Thakur at Srivasangan, they would perform nightly kirtans, and only the purest devotees were allowed to enter. Only the devotees who had deep attachment to the devotional service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet could enter. And some people were very envious because of this. They wanted to break down Srivas Thakur's house, throw it in the Ganga. Why are they allowed to perform kirtan and not us. We should be there with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were becoming very offensive. But they wanted it to be private because while they would engage in kirtan, they would do kirtan in such ecstasy. It wasn't just some simple sit-down kirtan. It was the time where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would gather with his most intimate associates and they would perform Prem Sankirtan. They would perform the highest kirtan, kirtan in divine love of God. And so Advaita Acharya would be running here and there. Gadadhar Pandit and Lord Nityananda, they would be dancing in ecstasy together, spinning around. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be exhibiting all of the eight sattvika bhavs, hair standing on end, tears coming down his face. It was a chance for them to really call out to the Lord, be uninhibited. And so, one day, this brahmachari, who drank only milk, he came to Srivas Thakur. And he told Srivas Thakur, please, please let me in. Please, I just want to see the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please let me in just one time. And so Srivas Thakur, he said, yes, you know, you're a simple brahmachari. You never eat anything cooked. You only drink milk. You're such a, you know, you're a pure soul. You can come in, but you have to hide in the corner. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only wants devotees there. So kirtan started. The brahmachari went into the corner and was hiding so that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't see him. And they started performing kirtan. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that for some reason I'm not feeling any ecstasy today. Is there somebody here who's not a devotee? And Srivas Thakur, he felt some fear. I'm going to be found out. And so he went up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, there's no atheist here. Only a very simple brahmachari. He's a brahmana who drinks only milk. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very outwardly angry. And he said, you cannot attain Krishna by drinking only milk. And he told the brahmachari, he took him out to the house and he said, what austerities did Gajendra perform? What austerities did the gopis perform? They didn't perform any austerities. They had pure love of Krishna. And he was revealing that this so-called milk drinker, he was very proud of his austerity. He was very proud and would advertise that I drink only milk. Just see, I'm better than everybody else. And so at that time, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chastising him, he became very humble. His heart softened. And he said that, I'm just happy to see that you're dancing once in this lifetime. I'm so sorry. And he was actually feeling very repentative. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the super soul within everybody's heart, he could understand the heart of this brahmachari. And so he actually hugged him and he said, yes, see, this is the mood of a devotee, to be always humble and not to rely on such proud austerities. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed that it's not just through austerities that one can serve Krishna. One has to serve Krishna, and then automatically one will become austere. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janat Yasu Vairagyam Gyanam Cham Ahaitukam. That by performing devotional service to Vasudev, one automatically gets the qualities of renunciation and knowledge. Vairagya Vidyananja Bhakti Yoga Shikshartha Mekha Purusha Parana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripambur Hir Yastaham Prapadye. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give bhakti, vairagya vidya nija bhakti. Bhakti and vairagya and vidya that is conducive to devotional service. It's not that we should not be austere, but we should do it in the proper consciousness. And this is particularly shown in the life of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. We won't go into the full biography of Raghunath Das Goswami, but he lived such a lavish life and he wanted to escape it. So he went to Jagannath Puri Dham to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had to run away from his lavish lifestyle, from people who wanted him to engage in service to the body. And so Raghunath Das Goswami, running to Jagannath Puri, he got there and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed him under the care of Srupa Damodar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now I have 3 Raghunaths in my association. You will be the Raghu of Sarup Damodar. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he gives us a very severe example of renunciation, but still it's worth meditating on. That when he first came to Jagannath Puri, what he would do is he would go and he would beg in front of the Singhadwara gate. Priests would come, so many people would come, and they would give him prasadam. He did that for some time, but then he felt, this isn't right. I'm standing in front of the temple begging. So then what he would do is he would go to the charity booth. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami, he became very pleased, but he would make certain comments that would push Raghunath Das Goswami to go further into renunciation. And so it came to a point where Raghunath Das Goswami, what he would do is he would go where the cows of Tailinga were kept. And where the cows are, they would be fed the refuse rice of the Mahaprasadam of Lord Jagannath. And so Raghunath Das Goswami, he would collect some of that rice, the decomposing rice. He would take it home, he would wash it off, take the hard inside part, put salt on it, and take that. And Sarup Damodar found out, he said, what nectar are you eating? You're eating such nectar and you're not telling anybody. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very happy and even took some of the prasad of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami felt very ashamed that the Lord was taking this. But the Lord was very pleased by his renunciation. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami makes a point that renunciation is the life of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very happy to see when his devotees are austere. But Raghunath Das Goswami did not perform austerities like Hiranyakashipu. He did not perform austerities like the milk drinker. He wasn't proud of his austerities. Actually, he was trying to keep it hidden. He wasn't trying to reveal his austerities to anybody. And he was performing the austerities so that he could engage more in Krishna consciousness. Later on, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he goes to Vrindavan, he takes just drops of buttermilk to survive. Such austerity. But it was because he was so engaged in the devotional service of Krishna that he didn't have time to take care of his body nicely. He didn't have time. It's stated, Sankhya Purva Kanama Ganibi, that the 6 Goswamis, day and night, they would engage in chanting, they would read, they would write, they would offer obeisances, they would do parikrama, they were constantly engaged, that they would naturally just forget to eat. They would forget to do these so-called material activities. But as aspiring devotees, we have to be practical in this day and age and not try to imitate the great souls like Raghunath Das Goswami. We have to try and emulate, know what our body can properly do and not do, and that means taking guidance from senior devotees. Because there is a chance that we can try and become austere like Raghunath Das Goswami and then become very sick because we're not doing it in a proper way. But we should have a mentality that on Ekadasis we can fast. Every special day we can take some time to chant more and perform austerities in a proper mood. So we shouldn't be death conscious, constantly worrying about death. We shouldn't be austerity conscious, trying to make sure we're performing austerities. But we should be Krishna conscious, which Srila Prabhupada says, achieving the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then everything else will come. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavamburo kripaya tava padapankajas tutuduli sadrusham chintaya. That, oh my Lord, somehow or other, I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death, samsara. Fallen into this ocean of death, but please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. This is the mentality of a devotee, that they're constantly trying to position themselves at the lotus feet of the Lord, to serve the lotus feet of the great souls. So I've been kind of meditating on Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Chara Nara Vindare. Srila Prabhupada's purport to this bhajan is really, really amazing. If anybody gets a chance, you should really listen to the full purport. I'm sure you have, but I haven't listened to it for a long time. But listening to the purport, Srila Prabhupada really makes some strong points. Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana. He's Govinda Das Kaviraj, he's preaching to the mind. And Srila Prabhupada says that actually we can't do anything without clarity of mind. If our mind is so disturbed, we can't do anything. So Bhaja Hure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana. We have to worship Sri Nanda Nandana. And Srila Prabhupada says there's so many different Krishnas. In that purport, he says there's so many different Krishnas, but we're particularly concerned about Krishna that's been born from Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. And so, Durlabha Manava Janama Satsange, that this human birth is such a rare opportunity. And we can cross over this material existence. How? Satsanga, by associating with the Vaishnavas, with associating with the sadhus. Sita Atapa Vatavarishana. That I'm suffering, going through this heat and cold, going through all these dualities day and night. Sita Atapa Vatavarishana. Just serving Vipale Sevinu Kripana Durajana. Srila Prabhupada says he says Kripana Durajana means wicked persons. I'm serving wicked men. Srila Prabhupada says we're engaging in serving outsiders. Very interesting. Vipale Sevini Kripana Durajana Chapala Sukha Lava Lagi Re. We're going through heat and cold, all these dualities, day and night. Why? Just for some Chapala Sukha. Just for some flickering happiness. And Srila Prabhupada points out that this happiness in the material world, there has to be a little bit of happiness there for somebody to work day and night, for somebody to go through this material existence and struggle through. So what is that happiness? It's like a drop in the desert. You're walking in the desert, and so dry. You're dying of thirst, and you get a little drop. You think, oh, I can go on. This is Chapala Sukha. Edhana Yovana Putra Parijana Iteki Ache Paratitire. The wealth, the sons and relatives, everything that material we have in this world, it's not going to save us. It's not really going to help us. But what's going to, and why isn't it going to help us? Because Kamala Dalajala Jivana Talamala. Kamala Dalajala, like a drop of water that's tottering, hanging on a lotus leaf. That's what this life is like. It's like a drop of water hanging on a lotus leaf. And if anybody's gotten a lotus flower and you've tested out, you put water on the lotus and it just rolls right off. So at any moment, this we see in this world, so many things that go on in this world. People are going about their day and just gone. It's really amazing. I mean, you know, to see that anybody can't understand that this body is temporary. Have to be in such illusion. But that's the power of Mahamaya, creates such an illusion. So Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala Bhaja Hu Hari Paraniti Re. We have to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada says that in this bhajan, from up to this point, Govinda Das Kaviraj, he's making a point that we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that. Right? We shouldn't try for Chapala Sukha. We shouldn't try to take shelter of our wealth, our good birth, our family members in this world. But what's the positive? Srila Prabhupada says the positive? Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Padasevana Dasyare. That hearing, chanting, remembering the Lord, serving the lotus feet, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering everything, Atma Nivedana. This is the positive aspect of Krishna consciousness. We have so many positive things in this philosophy. We can really get stuck in, I'm going to die. Oh my God, I have to worry. I'm going to die. I have to do this. I have to do so many things. But the positive engagement in Krishna consciousness is so nice and it's so easy. So in this world, tavakatamritam taptajivanam, that the life and soul of all living entities that are suffering in this material world is katamritam, hari katamritam, really taking shelter of hari kata, speaking about the Lord, remembering about the Lord, chanting about the Lord. And so to have a very positive outlook, we have to engage in devotional service, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the last part here, that one cannot escape the cycle of birth and death without becoming a devotee. And how do you become a devotee? By serving other devotees, associating with other devotees, and taking what Srila Prabhupada gave us very seriously, trying to inspire others. So I'll stop there if there's any comments or questions or corrections. If not, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.